Good morning, everybody. There's been a change in the process, and that's okay. It's good to see everybody here. There's some differences that happened here. Seats have moved. Amen. Good to see everybody. Does everybody feel the presence of the Lord here today? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about something unique and different than most Christians talk about, and that is the feast days, and we're going to call it divine appointments. Divine appointments. But before I get into that, for you that have already participated in step one, step two, and step three of Growth Track, hey man, step four is today, and today's your day to get on board and join the team and serve somebody and encourage them. Anybody like serving people? Well, I got a few amens. I understand what you're saying. People can kind of get under your skin at times, can't they? Especially when God's not leading them. But we're going to help them get to where that they can be a blessing in our world by serving them, Jesus Christ, in our lives. That's the reason we're talking about divine appointments today. Let me ask you an important question. Did you know that God has each of us scheduled for divine appointments? Eternal divine appointments. Matter of fact, Jesus says it this way in John 4 and 23. Notice how he says it. Yet a time is coming and now has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Does anybody get a might or a maybe so in that, or is there a mandate that we have been called out of darkness into marvelous light to host the presence of God, and by letting him be our Lord in our lives, we get to walk in the spirit and in the truth. Now, the word worship has this connotation, a kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand, to do reverence, to adore, worship. Did you know that God can get in our life in such a way that all of our heart will turn back to him? Did you know that? I'm saying this to you today. If you're not loving Jesus like you know you should be, don't fret. Relax. He can come to you in such a way that if you'll let him come, in return, you can't help but give him all your heart. Anybody want that to happen to you today? Did you know that when you're able to give Jesus all your heart, it's because you have an experience with him? And it's just easy. It's simple. It's like, I can't do enough for Jesus. I can't do enough for my Lord and my Savior. And so if you're challenged in that area and you know, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just not getting it. Matter of fact, I don't want to pray. I don't want to tell nobody about Jesus. I know I should be. I know it's the right thing to do, but man, I'm having issues. And you hadn't vocalized it and you're sitting there thinking, man, he's saying everything I'm thinking right now. The Lord wants you to know. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. That he's wanting to be with you more than you want to be with him. And the only way you can desire him is he has to give you that. That's helping somebody right now. And we have not because we... So if you lack desire, come on, it's in the book called the Bible. Ask him. He's ready to rendezvous with you on a divine appointment that will embolden you, it will empower you, it will give you the kind of fire inside that will cause you to stand and salute all the things that God's about. I had the pleasure of having some pretty good pets in my life. Amen. Matter of fact, I had a boxer bulldog. I named him Freckles after my wife's freckles because I like her freckles. And she let me do that. And this dog was loyal. He reverenced me. He acted like he'd rather be with me than anybody. Amen. And so I could be gone, and he knew the sound of all the vehicles I had in his lifespan. He could hear me coming. It felt like he could, a couple of miles away, he could hear me coming. And my wife had told me, no, he can hear you that far away, because he is sitting in that same spot every time I drive up, and he's propped up, and he's got his butt on the ground, that tail's wiggling like that. And when I get out of the vehicle, whichever one it was that he'd learned, all he wanted was just me to acknowledge him. And if I just put my hand on, it's like that was what he was looking for. He didn't care about nothing else, just that. But you know, he was able to give me that kind of, as the Bible says, worship, because I'd already earned his trust. I'd already stolen his heart. He knew I cared for him. He saw me as everything to him. I'm just saying this to you today. It's wonderful to be a part of something so awesome as Jesus, isn't it? Amen. But do you know that he can give you the kind of heart for him if you'll just ask? And if you'll just pay attention to today's message, those feast days that Israel celebrated in the Old Testament under law, Jesus fulfills them. And he shows us how that they are divine appointments in our life. Amen. And I'm going to today take a moment and let you see how Jesus played out those feast days as divine appointments between him and the Spirit. Is that okay? And it'll encourage you to know that in our world today, things have kind of like been twisted and turned, and you know, there's a lot of ideas like, you know, that was for them back then, not for us today. And so it's been watered down to the point where you're sitting there, some of you are sitting there wondering, what's wrong with me? Why don't I love Jesus? Why don't I want to witness? Why don't I lay hands on the sick? What's wrong with me? And Jesus is going to show us his footsteps and how that we can celebrate him in a way that he'll meet us in these divine appointments and wow us, amen, with how we can turn that love that he invests in us back to him, amen? And so it is. Jesus has called us to this kind of worship that invites him into our life, amen? We just want him to know, whatever, Lord, I'm ready. What you want to do next? Like Freckles. Amen. Just watch him, waiting on what I want to do next. God wants us to get so focused on what he's doing that we're all in. Amen. It's the kind of atmosphere that moves us into our true identity. It's the kind of attitude that allows his presence and truth, liberty to, amen, to lead us in victory in all things, in all of our relationships, anything that we put our hands to do. Our reverence and our adoration for God does not precede his demonstration of love, amen, of validation, and that we exist for a greater purpose. He gives us that, amen, so that we can return to him our hearts. That's a good God. And see, I've had already, you know, earned that kind of worship from the pets that I had in my life. I didn't demand it from them. This is why many professed believers are missing out on God's best. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. And even if our gospel is veiled. Now, the good news is important, isn't it? Anybody agree the good news is very important? It's very valid. He said if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So it's very important, if you've done just a little bit more study and you understood the context of where he's writing from, did you know you're God's glory? Does anybody in here know you're God's glory? And he knows for you to be able to live up to the glory that he's reserved for himself, that divine appointments have to happen. And God set these divine appointments in place, these appointed times, for each one of us. The reason you get up every morning, it's not because you're good looking. Just pause for a minute. It's not because you're all powerful. You didn't get up this morning, amen, because the world was waiting on you to peek out your door. You got up this morning because God's mercies are made new every morning. That's why you got up this morning. God has divine appointments, amen, already scheduled. And so this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now is the appointed time, amen, that you and I rendezvous with our God to become his temple, amen, so that we can tabernacle. Come on, that's one of the feast days. That's probably the most important feast days because that's where Adam is back in his redeemed state and identity. Amen. Don't want to get too deep for anybody here, but remember this. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You've been purchased with the price of his blood. You are commanded, amen, it's God's will that you glorify him in the body that you have. Amen, it's on loan from God. And we're here and we exist to give him glory. Amen, not to let this world hold us captive. And so your enemy knows that if he can veil or if he can pervert the good news, he can block you from divine appointments. Amen. The good news has everything about with celebration and your identity. The reason you exist, there's a good news that supports who you are in Christ. And so your divine appointment ushers you in to your God-given design. So how do I know that I'm a true worshiper? What we celebrate, what we value, gives us clues. So ask yourself for a moment here as we move quickly into this. What value system do you have? What is your value system? How did you acquire the value system that you hold? The things that you see through your lens that you put value on? What motivates you? Why are you motivated by whatever it is that motivates you? Why does it matter what people think of you? Think about that for a moment. As a teenager, my value system included how my friends and peers viewed me as a teenager. My skewed belief system influenced my emotional makeup. And what it did, it determined the will that I operated in. And I had a strong will as a teenager. Thus, because of the will that I was embracing, my values and were a product of the ideas that I held to be true and good and right. Amen. Has anybody ever found out something you thought was right, later you found out was wrong? You thought it equaled good, and later you found out, man, that's as evil as you can get. But you held that value system because something was the source by which it came to be valuable to you in your thinking. So, what motivates God to be so long-suffering? Before your conception, before your birth, he predetermined these divine appointments for each of us. Believers who host the presence of God, notice what they experience. They experience favor. They experience blessing. They experience the presence of God when they host him. And when you're hosting God, amen, it really don't matter what else is going on because his presence is the pinnacle. The obvious evidence of God with you, amen, makes all the difference. So if anything's wrong, you leave it up to God to deal with it, amen, and to take your heart and move it in the right direction so that you see what's right about what's going on because God's in it. When we host God, this is what follows. True worshipers worship in spirit. This is what follows. And in truth. Not in truth and then in spirit. I need an appointment with heaven so that truth will have a platform to move on. Can we say it like this? The Spirit of God is the rails by which the locomotive, a man of God's truth, will run. But if you're tempted by the enemy, and we've all been tempted, right? Well, we're going to figure God out before we let God have a place in our heart. No, you're not. Because that makes us think we're smart. And that ain't nobody here smart enough to figure God out. He's just too big to figure out. But he set it up to where if we would host his presence, his truth would move on his spirit, amen, and joy unspeakable would come to our spirit. Peace would overwhelm us, and we didn't really have to have the answer. We have God. Why do I have to know why when I have the source? Come on, it's kind of taking away the idea that I need to figure it out, Lord. Let me figure it out. If I can get the right, amen, understanding about you, then I may let you in. And in our Christian world, in the world as a general whole, amen, there's an idea that we can figure God out like that. That's why we're putting up with frustration, anxiety, anger, depression, amen, all kind of emotional hormone issues, relationship breakdowns. We're putting up with a lot of things because we have an idea of who God is, and it's not who he is. Because your idea of who God is not who God is. It don't matter how spiritual you are. God is greater than your idea of who he is. And the only way that you can have God in your life is through divine appointment. And when it's time for you to know more about God, you still don't know God. It's just okay. And the enemy's working overtime to deviate us from these experiences in God that make our marriages healthy, all of our relationships healthy. Amen. That the enemy cannot stand when we host God because he cannot continue to manipulate hearts and minds. Oh, divine appointments. And so what are these divine appointments? Israel is a good example today that when we go looking back, and if you haven't read the Bible, then this story may be new to you, but it's a true story. And even history has bore this to be true. The nation of Israel became slaves to Egypt several millennia ago. And in their slavery, amen, God was able to back away from them enough to cause them to cry out to him. Amen. And because they cried out to him, he heard their cry. Has anybody ever been slave to sin before? And did anybody ever get sick and tired of being associated with sin? It's like, dude, time out. I'm tired of this sin. And it wasn't the thing, whether it was drugs or alcohol or perversion or whatever it is, being a robber and a thief, a liar, whatever. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the lie that you held that caused that to manifest. And you kept wondering, man, I know I don't want to be an alcoholic, and I know I don't want to be hooked on drugs, and I don't want to be perverted. How do I stop this? And in your mind, you're thinking, I got to figure this out, and I need to correct my life, and I need to change me. And if I can ever change me, then I'll go and let God, I'll be for God. Anybody ever thought like that before? As soon as I get things corrected, Pastor, I'm going to be a part of what God's doing at New Life. And you may have not vocalized it that way, but in your mind you're thinking, I got to be a better person. I got to do better. I've got to get this corrected in my life. And so sin keeps holding on to us because you're not going to get it better. You're not going to change it. He's going to change it. And the only way it's going to change is when you meet that divine appointment with him, to where he shows you he's God and you're the apple of his eye. He didn't call you to do his part. Amen. He's got another plan for you. Amen. He's already beat the enemy. Now he's wanting to empower you and I to come join with him and make the enemy our walking material. Right? But we must meet with him. Israel cried out, and God brought a messenger with good news. And that message of good news was, I'm going to set you free. But before they were set free, God beat up on the Egyptians a little bit and let them know, I got all the big muscles, you don't. I'm the powerful one, you need me. And they become more aware of their need of God. And this good news message says, now go take the lamb, amen, get a spotless lamb, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put it on your doorpost of your house. I want you to take that lamb, and I want you to eat, consume all of that lamb ready to go. We're leaving this slavery. And we're going to do it through the lamb, through the blood of the lamb. Somebody said, man, the pastor's talking about blood today. Amen. Yep, because there's power in it, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a good news message that was declared because he was willing to give his blood, his very life, so that you could live, amen, and have life more abundantly. But there's a rendezvous, a set, an appointment with all of us when the good news comes to us that Jesus is the answer and that he died my death so I might live. The moment I agree with that, and I come to realize I can't break free from this slavery to sin, amen, I need some help. We turn the way we think and we quit thinking I'm going to make myself right. I need God to make me right. That's repentance. It's changed the way you think. It's that good news, amen, when you decide that I'm going to take advantage of the blood he shed because he says I'm forgiven. I'm going to eat the unleavened bread. Come on, it's a feast. He's the bread that came down from heaven. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, to that. I'm ready to go. I'm not staying here in this bondage. I'm dressed and ready, Lord. Amen. You make the difference when you're ready to do this. Israel was ready to go. And the death angel passed over them, amen, and hit Egypt, the ones that had enslaved them. Israel's leaving Egypt, and all of Egypt now is very aware. This is the people of God. Their God is the God of all gods. So much so that in their deliverance from slavery, they spoil the Egyptians and take with them all the gold and all the valuables, and they leave Egypt totally spoiled because the Lamb of God said, you're favored. And you're blessed. And now since you've come under my blood, amen, you've partaken of the Lamb, amen, a rendezvous has happened. And so they're experiencing being set free from slavery. Anybody like the idea of being set free from sin? You like it? But that's one of the major, amen, divine appointments that God has reserved for all people. So they leave Egypt. And Egypt decides, man, what were we thinking? Let's go get them back. Just like sin does when you make a decision that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And man, I'm all in. Lord, I've changed my thinking. I've changed my way of doing things. Let's do this. So Egypt, man, they get all their best chariots and horsemen and all their weaponry, and they take out after them. But God has a plan. There's another divine appointment. Amen, that had to happen. Just like there's a divine appointment after we repent that must happen. Amen? That's called water baptism. Egypt had to go through the Red Sea, a type of baptism. Amen, and going through the Red Sea and having the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. Amen, they experienced their Pentecost. I just imagine, just with me for a moment, how they thought, what kind of experience they, amen, enjoyed when they were on the other side of the Red Sea, turned around, watching Egypt coming in chariots, and that water takes them all out. Kind of like when you go down in that watery grave in Jesus' name. Everything that the enemy's been running after you, something about his name that has authority. It has the dominion. Didn't he make Adam to have authority and dominion? Didn't he give Adam a name, amen, in that garden that all the beasts and all the trees and all getting new? The same thing he's given to you and I in authority. But there's something in baptism. There's something about that name that's above every name. It's something about it that's going to cause every knee to bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. We're not talking about, amen, verbally saying in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you can do that. That's cool. But most important thing for you to know is when you're in the name, you've been baptized in the name. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Anybody ever heard that before in the law? Amen. Don't go down in the name of Jesus in vain. If you're going to be baptized in that water and you're going to let that divine appointment happen to you, embrace it and accept your identity. Come up out of that water and let God take over. Is this helping someone? Say, Passover and repentance to the good news that the Lamb makes the difference is a divine appointment for everybody. But not only that, going down in the watery grave Amen. Just like Israel walked through that Red Sea is a divine appointment for everybody. Amen. And the world began to recognize that's the people of God. Amen. That's where God has made his abode. And when they get across that, amen, that Red Sea, hey, God has them build a temple. Amen. A tabernacle out of badger skins. But within it is gold and all the beautiful colors of God's kingdom. If you go inside, amen, you see God's glory and honor inside. Just like, amen, people can see upon us if we're his temple or not. Yeah, I'm carrying this old badger skin body. Amen. It don't look that good on the outside, but on the inside, God's doing a work. God is doing something special. Why? Because, amen, you and I have decided that we're going to meet him at a divine appointment where we're filled with his spirit. And not only filled with his spirit just to be filled, amen, but we're filled with that spirit so that we can have power to be overcomers. Amen. He fills us with his spirit, a divine appointment, so that we can host his presence. And hosting his presence, we're able to go through this life and address all the other voices that come and talk to us. Somebody said, man, you need to go to the insane asylum, Pastor. You hear all them voices. Amen. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, do you ever talk to yourself? Oh, yeah. If I could be a fly on the wall, everyone could preach his message today. Yeah, you talk to yourself. And you have discussions, you think, with yourself. But these questions come up. How did those questions get there in the first place? Did Jesus put those questions there? Or was it another source that brought those questions there? There are two worlds. There's two kingdoms vying for your attention. And there's voices, amen, that are speaking, that's vying for your agreement. Jesus' voice, or the Holy Spirit speaking to us, is a still small voice. It's not screaming at us. It's not making us do anything. But these other voices that are trying to overcome the voice of the Lord, amen, that speaks to our spirit man. Remember this, you are a spirit man. You have a soul, mind, will, and motion, and you live in a body, right? You're not just a fleshly body that happens to have a soul and a spirit. You are a spirit man. And you're divinely put together by heaven to fellowship with him in divine appointments. And so we need God to speak to us. We need a fresh word from the Spirit every day. When you wake up every day, you need a divine appointment from heaven to keep you on track, in alignment, in the straight and narrow. And God's not making anybody do anything. And this is important for Christianity. He meets with us, gives us an experience that attracts us, and we get to go along for the journey. But in our Christian world, a lot of people are trying to live for Jesus out of their own determination and will without a divine appointment. And that may be true in your life today. And some of you are going like, that's where I'm at. I'd rather be associated with Jesus than anything, but I don't know why I don't want to live right and why I don't want to work on my relationships and why I don't have a zeal for the Lord. And we're addressing that today. That divine appointment has been watered down. It's been pushed out. And you're missing out on the source that empowers you to be who you're designed to be. God didn't intend on Adam living out his identity without him. But without God, you can do nothing. Without God, you can't even love him. Without God, you can't be attracted to him. With God, though, amen, all of a sudden you're having fun. You're playing in daddy's playground. You're just having a blast living out your identity and enjoying it because he's with you. These feasts reveal how God wants Israel to celebrate him. Let's read here in Deuteronomy 16:11. Rejoice before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose as his dwelling, or as a dwelling for his name. You and your sons and daughters, your males and female servants and Levites in your town, and the foreigners, the fatherless, the widows living among you. I've chosen a place for my name to dwell, is what he's saying. You take that over to the New Testament. You're that place he chose for his name to dwell. Verse 12, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. We've all been slaves to sin, right? Celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floors and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival. No, he said celebrate, remember, celebrate, be joyful. If you're lacking in any of that, you need a rendezvous from heaven today, okay? And if anybody in your family's lacking from that, they need a rendezvous from heaven today. Be joyful. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, and the foreigners, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns, for 7 days celebrate the festival that to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and all the work of your hands, whatever business you own, whatever you do in this life, he wants to bless you, and your joy will be complete. If your joy is not complete today, the Lord's encouraged me to let you know it can be before you leave here today. You can have fullness of joy. Life in Israel centered around God in the Old Testament. And life in the New Testament, where grace is being poured out, centers around God and true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. Strangers and foreigners, anybody, whosoever will, amen, should be our heartbeat. If you're not attracted to God in such a way that you can't help but talk about Jesus wherever you go, you need a divine appointment from heaven today. But you understand, Lord, I've prayed the sinner's prayer and I believe in Jesus. Okay? Then you're ready to go break out, break open, and let God begin to work through you so that the dead are raised. Amen? Demons run. The sick is healed. Amen? The leper is cleansed. Freely you have received. Receive what? From that divine, amen, appointment from heaven. Now freely go give it away. But if that passion's not there, we're missing our divine appointment. Amen? And this is why we meet on the first day of every week on Sunday. Because this is where God has deemed for us as a church family to come together every week, a central place, inviting whosoever will to come hear the good news, amen, that they're special and their best day is before them. And you and I are going out every week between Sunday and Sunday, having small groups, going to work, encouraging, inviting, touching lives so that they can live and have life more abundantly too. This is why the Great Commission, amen, is so important to Jesus. He's saying this to all of us, that we're to go into highways and hedges, and we're to preach the good news, and we're to baptize and make disciples. But sometimes we don't do that, don't we? Jesus spoke plainly about the feast celebrations, and he made it very clear here in Luke 14 and 12 that we're to go into the highways and hedges and compel them. Let me encourage you right now. When you're hosting the presence of God, you don't spook nobody. Amen. Is this okay? When you're hosting his presence, you're like him. And if you'll follow his footsteps in the New Testament, he didn't freak people out. Yeah, he made mud balls and put them in the eyes, and the blind eyes were open. He done some stuff because, amen, people were attracted to him. But he didn't run the crowds away. They overwhelmed him because they wanted to be with him. That kind of presence from heaven is ready to rest on you. Jesus said, these works I do, everything you see me doing, greater works you're going to do. Did he lie? No, he didn't lie. And he meant what he said. The only thing lacking is divine appointments. Divine appointments. Key divine appointments. Thus the reason for the celebrations. amen, of the feast days in the Old Testament, and Jesus bringing it over here and touching our lives. In Revelation 22 and 17, when you get a hold of this divine appointment thing and you start letting these rendezvous from heaven happen in your life, this is what happens. The Spirit and the bride says, come on, when the Spirit is upon us as the bride of Christ, this is what we say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty, amen, come, and let the ones who wish to take the free gift of the water of life, come. God has a need, and that need is all summed up in you needing Him. God wants you to be attracted to Him. He's after the ones that He loves. He loves you. For you to make your divine appointment with God at the Feast of Tabernacles, amen, and I know that sounds Christianese, all right? But let's get it. Let's get the track in here. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, you choose to become the temple of the Holy Spirit, things are going to happen. But before you can become that tabernacle with Him, there has to be a Passover in your life. There has to be a place where you resolve that I'm not going to try to do anything anymore on my own. I need God. And when that happens, and you come to resolve that I can't do this, but God can through me, He will meet you there, amen, with an experience called Pentecost that will empower you. It will change your world. All of a sudden, a fresh boldness will come up on you and a zeal. It'll be like fire shut up in your bones. You cannot let it stay. You got to do something about it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19, for you that want a validation on this, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Come on, it's called the cross of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood so that you would live. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Amen. How did Jesus fulfill all these feasts under law? How did He do that? Well, in Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23, you might want to read the whole chapter, but those three verses will help you kind of get a grip on it. Jesus hasn't yet started in His ministry. And John has been preaching the Lamb of God is coming. And on a certain day, John sees Him from a distance and says to the whole crowd, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. Amen. You don't have to be a slave to sin no more. He's going to take it away. Jesus meets John in Jordan, and He says to John, it behooves us. We're the ones responsible now. We're going to fulfill all righteousness. And John says, Lord, I need you to baptize me. And he was correct. He did need Jesus to baptize him. But Jesus held him and said, no, now baptize me. Jesus is stepping into that place, amen, to fulfill righteousness for us so that we could follow in His steps. And Passover began, amen, as a sign there. I know He hadn't died yet because His ministry hadn't yet. But He's showing us the path. He's showing us an example of what it's going to be like after the cross. And when you follow that, people, amen, would repent. They would get baptized. They would get filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts. Jesus goes down in that water, and Passover is fulfilled by way of baptism and repentance. And He wasn't a sinner, but He's being baptized to show us that that ain't changing. And you're not greater than the Master. You'll walk even as the Master walks, right? He walked right down in that water letting us know, come follow me. Come follow me. He goes down in that water, and when He comes up out of that water, the heavens break open, and the Spirit descends. There's your Pentecost upon Him. And a voice from heaven speaks, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He's letting us know these divine appointments amen, are being lived out, and he's our representative. He is the second man, Adam, that is sinless, showing us how to step back into our redeemed identity. But the Spirit that came down upon him led him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy, and he made the enemy his walking material. And that Spirit, amen, brought him back out of the wilderness in power, and he crossed back across Jordan, amen, and his ministry began. Anybody need a ministry in Christ? Anybody believe you're God's man or woman today? I'm not sure. I'm not like Christ, right? Divine appointment. When Jesus comes back across Jordan and he lives out the details of two major feast days, Passover and Pentecost. Now tabernacling begin. Because when he gets to the other side, he makes statements like this: I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. He was giving us a clear picture of what tabernacle and celebrating tabernacles was about. We are the sheep of his pasture. God chose us above all of his creation. And we, amen, his apple of his eye, what does he say do? They hear my voice and they follow me. They tabernacle with me. Wherever I go, they go. Whatever I do, they do. They tabernacle with me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is challenging us to come to grips with the things that we value in life. The Lord's asking us to rehearse in our mind, why is it that I value what I value? Why do I do what I do? Why am I so, amen, focused on, you know, being involved with this principle or that precept, and at the same time, I'm depressed, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, my relationships are broken, my marriage is on the rock. Am I talking to anybody today? But I believe in Jesus. I go to church every Sunday, I attend a small group, but I don't have fullness of joy. I'm not passionate really about my Lord. I just want to be associated with him, but I don't love him like I should. My story in 1972, 10 years old, and the preacher preached. And at 10 years of age, what he said triggered something in my spirit. It's beautiful how kids can be ministered to, and they catch it, boom. The older we get, our chances diminish because we get too smart. But at 10 years old, I wasn't smart enough yet to have God figured out. And he was able to touch my spirit, and I repented. I said, you know what? I can't go through life without God. I need God in my life. And he met me there with that heart. 2 years later, in 1974, the preacher's preaching again. And he preached in such a way that I come to realize I need more than just to know that I need God. I need an experience with God that'll help me keep him front and center. And it was that night in 1974 at the age of 12 that I was filled with the baptism of God's Spirit. And my life totally changed. So much so, at 12 years old, my other brother, Wendell, I have two other brothers, but he was the one that said, I don't know what happened to my brother, but whatever happened to him, gotta happen to me. He didn't see me no more. He saw something else because of a divine appointment. 1974, I had that divine appointment of Passover by repentance. Then I had that divine appointment, amen, of being filled with the Spirit and baptized in his name. But at age 19, amen, the Spirit that had been working in my life, and I'm just a teenager, spoke to my spirit. I didn't hear an audible voice, but he came to me in such a way that I began to, oh my goodness, and he said to me, I want you to carry my message to others. I heard him. I couldn't get away from it. It just done something to my spirit. And I said, Lord, yes, I want to be a witness for you. I want to have fire in my spirit to encourage others to know that they can live a better life than what they're living. Because at age 19, I already owned a business and was, amen, building a wonderful business in the city we lived and meeting a lot of people. And I saw a lot of heartbreak situations, some frustrations, and people were beat up. And it got a hold of me. And I began to, Lord, help me, help them, Lord. And he said, thank you for asking, son. I'm going to do it now. And from that place of rendezvous and me saying, Lord, use me the way you want to use me, all of a sudden my business didn't matter no more. What mattered was his business. And I began to take care of his business. And you know what happened? The other business bloomed, blossomed, took off. Some of you are needing God to verify some things in your life today. And from that place of rendezvous, of divine appointments, small groups sprung up. Bible studies began. They was happening all over town. I was helping other ministries, other churches in these small groups that were sometimes 30 and 40 apiece. Amen. People were coming to God. They would come to a Sunday service, get filled with the Spirit. Some of them get filled with the Spirit in the homes where the small groups were happening. These divine appointments, amen, God wants these celebrations happening every day. And he's called you to be his tabernacle. He's called you to be his representative. He's given you a name that's above every name. Amen. You get to stand in his stead. So what's your value system and why? I want to pray with you today so that you that are hurting right now, you pray, you have your devotion, you have your traditional religious ideas of what it looks like to be a Christian, but you don't have the joy you know you need to have. Your home is hurting. You're hurting. And you know Jesus is the best thing going. But you haven't yet had that divine appointment with him. I want to pray with you today. Our church family wants to pray with you. Those that believe with all their heart what I'm saying is a message from heaven today. That that's the same message that was delivered in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 9 and 10 and 19. That message never changes. That today, if you haven't yet had the divine appointment of Passover in your life, you don't have to leave today until you're able to make Jesus, amen, your Passover lamb. You can make him your source. You can change the way you think about how you're going to be and turn it to how he is so that you become. You can have your Passover today. But you can go beyond that. You can go to your Pentecost today. To where you leave with fullness of joy. Peace that passeth all understanding. You'll hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son and daughter whom I'm well pleased. You will know that you know that you know. You can't explain it, but you know. Me and God met. There was a rendezvous that I cannot deny. Hey, amen. My zeal for him right now is up here. I want to pray for you right now. Could we stand?